Well, how will policing change as alert levels go down? The Police Commissioner, Andrew Costa, says new legislation may be needed to clarify and set out the appropriate regime for police powers under Level 2. There have been 700 breaches of Level 3 rules reported to police, a quarter of them resulting in prosecutions. Andrew Costa says police are preparing for moving down through the alert levels, and he believes most New Zealanders will continue to comply with Level 3 rules until they are changed.
I don't think we're seeing anything that I'd describe as defiance. We definitely had a bit of adjustment going from 4 to 3, and there was obviously a desire for people to get out and about. I think things have settled down now into a good rhythm. Businesses have got their heads around what it means to manage queues and that sort of thing, and the vast majority of people, I think, are just getting on with it.
There was that blowout on the first weekend where there were a lot of infringements and police taking enforcement action. Have you got updated figures since?
Yes, we've had recorded 700 breaches since the start of Level 3, and roughly a quarter of those have translated into prosecutions. Most of the breaches will relate to things like people gathering when they shouldn't be, that sort of thing. So generally that's pretty good when you think about the size of our population. However, we do need people to remember what it is that we're trying to achieve here, how much we've put into it already, and getting lax now could really undermine it all.
So the most of those, they happened in the first weekend. By far the majority of them happened in the first weekend.
There was quite a substantial number, yes, in the first weekend, and that was really around gatherings and people, socialising too soon. There's actually very little permission for greater socialising in Level 3. It's those small family bubbles still, and that's probably the area where I think people have the greatest desire to step out, and we need them just to be disciplined until we can move to the next stage.
What happens when we do? You had to seek clarity over what power you actually had under early Level 4,
yes.
And you've made it clear that there were things you needed to clarify.
Yes.
What are your powers now? Are they the same under all levels?
The powers line up to what the notice, the health notice says. So the health notice has been very comprehensive since really partway through Level 4 and certainly for Level 3. So the controls that are communicated publicly are reflected into the health notice, and then our powers are to enforce the notice either under the Health Act, or we can also give directions under the Civil Defence Emergency Management Act. Those powers are very clear now and have been since the start of Level 3. And under Level 2, there's conversation about the most appropriate regime for powers, and I'm sure that will become clear at the point any announcement's made for Level 2.
So does that mean that your enforcement powers will change, or simply that what you will act on will be different under each level?
Yeah, that's right. It's more the latter. So the powers that we have come from the Health Act and the Civil Defence Emergency Management Act. The controls are defined by the level that we're at. There has been some commentary about whether a different legislative regime may be appropriate as we step down the levels, and that's something that I think there could be further conversation on, but certainly for Level 4 and Level 3 we've been working under those established acts, and they really relate to an emergency situation where there's a need to act quickly and there's a need for a high degree of agility in terms of being able to apply a health notice and get some controls in place.
So are you anticipating some new legislation? And again, for context, Crown Law Opinion warned police they had little or no power to enforce the lockdown. There's been some legal positions taken over whether it's fit, the law itself could be applied in the way it has been here. And are you anticipating clarifying legislation?
The legislation's a matter for Parliament. There certainly has been dialogue about whether that would be appropriate, and so I think that's a situation of watch this space. In terms of the powers, They've been very unambiguous since partway through level four and certainly all the way through level three. Early on, there was a clarity required, which we sought and got. And so we were confident that we stayed within the powers as they existed. And the powers have been very clear under the Health Act, particularly once we had a comprehensive health notice issued, which we have had in place now for some weeks.
Dozens of community roadblocks sprung up around the country. These are now largely gone, and police, it appears, had a presence there in order for them to be legalised. Was the concern within your own ranks over how that was handled?
I think it's fair to say there's been a lot of debate across a whole lot of different forums about what the right way to deal with that situation was. As has been noted, these communities responded to a serious concern they had about their vulnerability, which reflected a past experience. The 1918 flu epidemic wiped out 8 times as many Māori per capita as it did non-Māori. And we discouraged the checkpoints. We felt that it was appropriate for police to do the policing. However, where communities determined they were going to do this, we worked to ensure that, you know, freedom of movement was maintained. It's not a sustainable situation, and so when we were able, we stepped in to create a police presence at these locations, and when police are there, the checkpoints are lawful. We have the power to stop vehicles and also, you know, to call on members of the public to assist us. So that's the way they've been running. We're now down to approximately 5 checkpoints, and I'm very confident that they will be wrapped up prior to the transition to level two. So I fully accept there's been a diversity of view about whether we ought to have proceeded as we did, but we respected the feeling within those communities and did our best to work with them rather than escalate the situation.
This whole situation is a very interesting dance between the law, policing and the citizenry. And I'm curious, as we move into the next levels, how that holds. If 3 million New Zealanders decided they were going to the beach under lockdown, there's a limit to what police could do. Do you anticipate that dance getting more complicated from level two?
I think the settings need to adjust as we step through. So if you think about the situation we were in, it was quite exceptional. There was wide acceptance that this was an emergency. People were dying overseas and we didn't want that here and we needed to act. So really, policing in its entirety in our model depends on the consent of the public. You know, we need the vast majority of people to agree that what's happening is legitimate and to work with us to achieve the safety outcomes that we all want. And that level of agreement will depend on how legitimate the controls are perceived to be. I think the vast majority of people have perceived it to be legitimate through levels 3 and 4, and that's why we've seen the good compliance that we have. As we move into level 2, the trick will be getting the right settings that the vast majority of people accept them to be valid based on the risk that we understand. And I believe people will be looking for a greater mainstreaming of the controls. And that's where some of the legal debate has been. You know, how long do you continue to operate under, say, emergency provisions before you move into something that has been more carefully considered through Parliament and put in place by that mechanism?
So are you talking about legislation that sits outside of state of emergency powers, national emergency powers?
That's certainly been the conversation as to whether separate legislation is required. As I say, that is a matter for Parliament. The role of policing in all of this is to make sure that the way we police is seen as legitimate, because the conduct of policing is part of the perceived legitimacy of the whole thing, and we fully recognise we police by consent. As you've said, if 3 million New Zealanders decided to go to the beach, our 10,000 people are not really going to make much difference to that, and so safety is owned by the community, and we've seen I think, really good demonstrations of that and the way people have responded to this situation.
Do you have power to enforce, though? Because as people get back to workplaces and moving around, gatherings start helping again, do you need to have the capacity to demonstrate the enforcement of compliance?
We definitely need to be able to enforce where there are big outliers, where people are flouting the controls. Even under level three, there's a lot of trust required. Clearly, there's a lot more movement than there was as people are accessing businesses and the like. Our effort is directed towards, the obvious breaches, which are people having big parties at level three, people clearly travelling, a long way from where they ought to be. As we step through the levels, there will still need to be an enforcement ability. However, it's likely to be focused on the extremes, bearing in mind that it does need the vast majority of people to do the right thing. And New Zealand has consistently demonstrated that we can come together as a community for the common good, and that's what I would hope we will keep seeing as we go forward.
Can we look at some of the practicalities and whether they need to change? For example, workplace practices. We saw the example with the burger bar queues, and I'm sure there were conversations had over that. Lots of questions around construction sites and whether some are getting it right and some aren't. A lot of people talking to other agencies, the likes of WorkSafe, and saying, "Where are you?" And they turn around and say, "It's the police who have the enforcement powers." Is this practical? Can you become the enforcer of several hundred thousand New Zealand workplaces, or does something else need to be thought through?
The compliance regime already has many agencies involved in it. So for workplaces, we have MB, we have WorkSafe, we have Ministry of Primary Industries for some aspects, and police's responsibility really sits around public gatherings and sort of movement of people.
So was it a mischaracterisation? Sorry to interrupt you, Commissioner. Was it a mischaracterisation to say that police have the enforcement powers in the case of workplace breaches? Should agencies be undertaking inspections and certainly undertaking actions themselves?
I didn't hear that said, so it's a little bit hard for me to comment on that context. But what I can say is police is not the lead agency for workplaces. That sits with MB and with WorkSafe. Where you get some complexity would be, the burger bar example. If people are gathering on the footpath to access a business, then it's probably a bit of a combined effort. The workplace ought to be managing its queues, which is something that MB would work with them about, whereas police, need to manage gatherings to the extent we can in public places. So all of this needs to be joined up, and we have created a joined up compliance model where if breaches are reported, there's a single front door, and then we triage through and the most appropriate agency leads and others support. There was a bit of shaking down early on with businesses, as we saw at the start of level four. At the start of level three, businesses needed to work out how to get their queues organised, and we sort of saw the same thing with supermarkets in level four, where initially it was a little bit chaotic, and then we got kind of queues marked out and people managing the queues, and it settled down. And that'll be very much the same situation at the next transition, I am sure, because we've never done this before.
And the single front door is?
The single front door is access through the COVID-19 website, so just COVID-19.
Two other things before I let you go, and these are big things to be leaving till last, actually, which is the consequence of one of the consequences of what the country is going through. Could I ask you first about the extent to which domestic violence has increased over these weeks?
It's very hard to say actually what has occurred. What I can say about the reporting is that police have seen, after an initial short spike, pretty consistent levels with what we saw pre-lockdown. That's not to say there haven't been things occurring in homes that have been unreported. We know this has been a really unusual time, and so we are poised for the potential for an increase in family harm reporting. Whether that eventuates remains to be seen. We've worked really hard with partners to make sure we have the right services available to support people and, you know, accommodation to relocate perpetrators out of homes and that kind of thing. So we believe we've done as well as we can, but we can't ignore that some people have been stuck and may not have found the right way to report.
Are you also finding an increase in mental health call-outs, and are police attending them?
We haven't seen that in our data. There have been reports from other providers that they've had an increase in calls for support, you know, for counselling and the like. For police, our demand has stayed pretty steady, and we've been definitely attending in the same way as we always would.
That is the Police Commissioner. I was speaking to him just before we came to air this morning, Andrew Costa.